Well, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
We first begun. somebody saying while we sing it tonight. Oh, I know he broke the bonds of prison for me. Well, I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Oh, glory to God, he set me free.
Amen. God bless you. Good to be in church again this evening. And had a couple of announcements I wanted to make. First of all, 52 years ago today, Brother and Sister Layton were married, so just want to wish them a very happy anniversary. Amen. And good to have them in service. I figured they'd be somewhere for their anniversary tonight, but but good to have them in service. And you'll have to make him take you out somewhere tomorrow night, Sister Layton. But good to be in fellowship with each and every one of you. Also, several of the brothers have been asking when we were going to do another men's meeting. And so, Lord willing, February the 18th, which is a Thursday, it would be about 2 weeks from tomorrow, I guess. February the 18th at 7 o'clock. We'll be having a men's meeting here in the basement in the room that Brother Stephen uses for his classroom. We'll be using that for our men's meeting. So we'll be looking forward to whatever the Lord has in store for us during that. All you brothers that want to come and fellowship with us, we'd be happy to have you with us. Sister Savannah Fast, she'd got ran off the road by a semi on Friday and had been having some back problems from that. And came up for prayer Sunday morning. She wanted to testify that she's had no back pain since Sunday. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. God's still Hebrews 13 and 8. And also Brother Ivan Milby that we had prayed for Sunday morning that had a stroke. His speech has recovered. So I want to praise the Lord for that. God's just good, isn't he? Amen. We've got some prayer requests this evening. Brother Furman asked for a prayer for Sister April's dad. He's having severe back pain, but we know from this testimony that God can heal back pain, so we'll just be expecting to hear a testimony come forth from that as well. Brother Trevor, he's going to be preaching for Brother Luke Gibson this weekend, so I want to remember him and his family in prayer for traveling mercies and for services there. And Brother Luke Nicholson, his grandma, they've got found two clots in her heart, and the doctors don't want to do surgery at her age, so they're going to treat with medication, or at least attempt to. So we want to remember her in prayer that the Lord will just come on the scene for her. And how many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring to the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Ben, would you just come tonight and lead us in a word over these requests? And we know that that God hears and answers prayer. We see the testimonies come forth, and we'll just be looking forward to testimonies coming forth from these as well.
You can just bow your heads with me. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together again, to be with our brothers and sisters, and Lord, to feel your presence here. Lord, we know that, as Brother Furman said, we all get emotional at times when we feel your presence, Lord. How could we not? All the things that you've done for us, Lord, and Yet we know that your promises, that we haven't even seen the smallest part of them yet, Lord. There's so much more to come. And Lord, we look forward to the time when we can stand in your presence and just feel your glory at all times, Lord. We know that these situations that we've brought before you tonight, Lord, you are more than capable to move on the scene, to comfort these people, to give them healing, spiritual healing, to give them physical healing. Lord, we just know that with your promise that all things work together for the good of those who believe, Lord. We thank you for giving us the faith and the strength to make it through these times, Lord. We just pray that, Lord, come quickly. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. Sister Jennifer, I think, has a special. She'd come at this time. Amen. You appreciate that this evening? Amen. I believe that's our desire, for him just to lead us. Amen. Anywhere he opens the door, doesn't matter. As long as he's doing the leading, that's all right. Amen.
Oh, as I travel through this river land, there is a friend. Lord, on whom I can depend, blessed Jesus.
in prayer. Oh, and when I kneel in prayer, Lord, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, one more time together. Oh, and when I kneel in prayer, Lord, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
Amen. I believe he came to meet us tonight. He said wherever two or three are gathered, he'd be in our midst. Amen. So I believe he's here tonight. Amen. God bless you. Let's look at this together tonight. We want to pick up on this series we've been on flawed characters. And want to look at Solomon again. And we're going to look at, I believe it's 1 Kings chapter 1. And I have the header wrong up there. But 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 5 to begin with. Solomon would have been 19 years old at this time when this begins to take place. It says, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time, saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they following Adonijah helped him. But Zadok, the priest, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan, the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother, he called not. Thank you, brother. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne this evening, I just ask that you would be with us, that you would help us, Father, that you would just move in a special way amongst your people. Ask that you would just lead me and guide me, Father. Lord, whatever you'd have me to do or say, Lord, may you just do something, Lord, that would encourage, that would bless, Father, and just ask you to take complete preeminence in this service, I pray, for whatever your people would have need of. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. We find here, as we begin to look at the time when Solomon is getting ready to take over as king of Israel, and David is getting up in age, and in doing so, he's got to a spot to where some things are beginning to take place that he's not fully aware of. And when he finds out about them, he doesn't really go and do anything to prevent it. And what appears to be, if we look at the scriptures and we begin to study it, a political move begins to take place in the kingdom, and one of his brothers, who is a blood brother of Absalom, begins to go in and set himself up as king to take over in David's stead, even though we know from looking at it the last few weeks and months here that going down through the lineage of Christ, it was going to be Solomon that was going to sit on the throne, and it was Solomon that had been prophesied of that would take over David's throne. But there begins to be, because there's another son that was a younger brother to Absalom, he begins to try to take over in Solomon's stead, and he begins to rally some men around him, as we would say, to get him on his side. And he begins to make a political move, and he begins to get Joab on his side, and one of the priests there is on his side, and several of the warriors and different ones, and he begins to get the people together and to set himself up as king without David's permission, without the backing of Nathan. Nathan the prophet or different ones, but he begins to go about this in a political way. And I don't know about any of you that have been keeping up with the debates or things like that, but usually whenever there's a political move, it's not a friendly pat on the back or a courteous type of deal. But when you watch these debates and things, they want to absolutely run everybody else down and do whatever they can to get everybody else on their side, to get the people to their way of seeing things and their way of doing things. And in doing so, we find that Solomon has gone about here, and David's already told him what's going to take place and about the vision being about him to take over and rule in David's stead. But through all of this, Adonijah begins to have a political move, and he begins to set himself up. And in doing so, many times when we begin to see politics, I hate politics. Whether it be out here in the society, whether it be in the national politics or whatever it would be, but especially when it begins to come around the message, there's just something about it. I hate politics. And a lot of times we get into all these political type of moves that, well, if you're with me, you're against them. And if you're with them, you're against me. And all this type of politics. But I don't believe in playing politics in the message. And I believe that politics begins to divide and to separate. And if we're not careful, it's just people setting up kingdoms for themselves over here and over there. And it's just a political inspired move. But yet, in a certain way, there is politics that's involved, whether it be with any church, whether it be with any movement, whatever it would be. We had some politics the other night and did some voting and things with the board that we'll announce to you on Sunday morning. And so there's politics that goes along with it. But there's a difference between politics that are moved of God and politics that are inspired of the devil. And how do you tell the difference? And we want to look at that a little bit tonight with the help of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1. Solomon made an affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about it. Now, usually when something like this took place, whether it be in the Bible days or whether it be over in England, and when the king of England would marry someone from France or from Italy or somewhere like that, they would be, what they were trying to do was, when a prince would marry a princess from some other kingdom, they were trying to unite their kingdoms through this marriage. And many times in the Bible it took place, like in the days of Solomon here, he marries Pharaoh's daughter to try to unite their kingdoms, and it's a political move. We find out also, Brother Bram said, and we'll just skip ahead a couple here. He says in the Church Age book in page 228, he said, when Ahab married Jezebel for political reasons, he sold his birthright. So here Ahab marries this woman. She's an idolater. She's against everything that he stands for and believes in. She worships a different God than him. She does all these different things separate than him. She worships a different way than him. She believes a different way than him. But yet he goes to marry her as a political move to unite his kingdom. And what is it? Brother Bram said he sold his birthright when he did so. Now we better be careful. Some of you, I don't have to worry about it. God gave me a good wife, but some of you that are still young and single and still looking, you better be careful when you go to make a choice that it isn't just a financial choice or it isn't just a political choice that, well, it'll better me, it'll get me in good with some of these families she's related to, or my, he's got a wonderful job and he'd be able to financially provide for me, and you're looking at it in the financial realm, or even just, oh my, he's so attractive when he bats those big brown eyes, or when she swishes that long blonde hair, whatever it would be. And when we begin to look at those things, if you're not careful, the relationship will be built on the wrong thing, but it should be built on a purpose that God is leading it and guiding it. Remember, Brother Bram said when they walked out of the garden there, they walked out a man and a female, and he created them that way. And I believe it's the same way in our day, that Brother Bram said it this way. He said, he's got someone for you, just wait. And many times we don't wait on God. If you're not careful, that's where we see many of the conditions that people get into, even around the messages. Why? Because they didn't wait on God. But when we put God first in whatever it is, whether it be a job decision, whether it be a family decision, how to raise our children, where to send them to school, whether it be a relationship decision, who to allow our children to be friends with, who we should marry, things like that, we better put God first in the decision and not allow it to be controlled by any other aspect aspect, whether it be a financial aspect or a political aspect or whatever it would be. Even when we go and my, believe me, I when I went to select a wife, I chose a wife that I was attracted to, don't get me wrong, but there had to be more than just attraction, because my, as I told a while back, and Brother Layton and I can testify as we've gone and visited people in the nursing home recently, there's no attractive people in the nursing home. Some of you young people that are looking for a spouse, you don't go down and you know, walk the halls of the nursing home. If you do, then we need to have you checked out for psychiatrically to see if there's something mentally wrong. You don't walk up and down the corridors and say, oh my, the lady in the 309, my, oh, she's so beautiful, and my, her wrinkled hands, I could just hold on to them forever. No, there's nothing so much as an attraction in the physical aspect to that. So when you get to that point, it better be more than just attraction. It has to be a love that goes deeper than that. It has to be something that God led you and guided you to that person. And then when you get to 52 years of marriage, like Brother Layton and Sister Layton, you still have something in common that was more than just, you know, Brother Layton's hair isn't as thick and as dark as it used to be. But Sister Layton didn't trade him in for a new one when it got thinner and lighter and all those things. Why? Because there was something there more than just an attraction to his dark curly hair. Amen. Maybe that was what started things. You know, I don't know how it happened. They could testify about that more than I could. But maybe there was something that initially caught his eye or her eye or whatever it would be. But there was something more, that there was a desire to raise their children in a godly way and to follow this message. And they had something that they had in common that would stand the test of time. Oh, how we need that. Not just financial or attraction or politics, but it's got to be something more than that. Even around the message today, people say, oh, well, she believes the message. Well, you better be sure that she believes the message, because there's many that was raised in it for years and years and years that are walking away from it. Oh, they're a good Christian. Well, you better make sure that it's not just a put on the outside, because there's a lot of crows out here with peacock feathers stuck in that can look pretty good for a while. But eventually, Brother Ram said, you know, he said, when you become married, he said, then, you know, you find out when you're disappointed in one another and things like that, whether you're really in love. And my, when you're courting, and I don't know how it got on this tonight, that wasn't the direction we were headed, but maybe it'll help somebody tonight. When you're courting and you're holding hands and walking across that bridge, looking down at your reflection in the water, and then she goes home to mommy and you go home to daddy, there's not a whole lot of contention or discord, and you can buy whatever color car you want and whatever color clothes you want, and she can buy whatever color purse she wants, and it's not, you know, two different decisions and opinions. And when you wake up in the bed in the morning, your head's mashed flat on the side and sticking straight up, and she wakes up and she's got bad breath, it's okay, because you're at mommy and daddy's house, and she's at mommy and daddy's house, and there's no problems there, there's no disappointments there. But Brother Bram said, when the trials and tests of life begin to come, and she's disappointed in you, and you're disappointed in her, he said, that's when you really find out if you really have that love one for another. Amen. It takes more than, as I've said before to the young people at some of the young people's meetings and things, somebody said, oh my, you know, she just makes me feel all warm and tingly inside. I said, well, go stick your hand in a light socket. That'll make you feel warm and tingly, but I don't want to marry the light sockets. It's got to be based on a godly principle of that we put God first in our relationship. We put God first in our job. We put God first in our finances. We put God first in our decisions. And then God will bless it and it'll grow. And it can be something that can be built on the right kind of foundation. But even around the message today, just because somebody says they believe God sent a prophet, they may not believe anything hardly the same that you do. There's a lot of different opinions and doctrines and ideas. And you better be make sure what you know where you stand. You say, oh, it's okay, I can love them whatever they believe. Yeah, that's right, you might be able to, but how are you going to raise your children? Are you going to raise them, you know, to, well, we won't get into all the different doctrines and things. My, I'll get myself in trouble tonight. But how are you going to, raise the child that they should go to church or that they shouldn't go to church? Are you going to raise them that they should, that you believe in preachers as well as tapes, or tape only, or preacher only? Or how are you going to raise those children? It gets very important when you get along a little ways in life, when those children get up to about 5, 6, 7, 8, that you're teaching them the same thing. Well, praise the Lord. But Ahab began to marry not because of a yearning to raise his children in a godly way, not because of a yearning to have a godly foundation in his home, but because of political reasons. Brother Branham begins to talk about Balaam and does God ever change his mind about his word in 1965. He said, now we want to notice that this man was a prophet ordained of God, but he sold his birthrights for political reasons, just as the church did today, like Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and the whole group of them sold it out for pools in their organization. Moses under God, Balaam under Balak. Yet both prophets were called men of God and both spiritual. Notice the difference. Each had a head. Moses's was God and Balaam was Balak. Here they are, both anointed prophets, both of them with a ministry and all these different things, but one of them follows the leading of God and another one sells out for political reasons because he could earn a little bit better living under Balak than he thought serving God. St. Luke chapter 23 verse 11, it says, and Herod and his men of war set him at naught, talking about Jesus, and mocked him and arrayed him in gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Now, I want you to watch. We're looking at political moves this evening. And because of this, Pilate and Herod had always been at naught from each other. One wanted to rule this area and one wanted to do this. And they had political contention and different ideas and different ways to run things and all kinds of problems that they probably had. And they had been at naught for their entire careers. But now suddenly they have something in common, that they're both faced with this decision that the Son of God is given into their hands, and they start playing ping pong. I don't want to choose. He's from your region. Send him over here, because they don't want his blood on his hands. And then Pilate says, no, I'm going to send you back to Herod. I don't want to make this decision. And they begin to send him back and forth, and they realize neither one of them really wants this man's blood on their hands, but yet they've got to come to a decision. And finally, because of the cry of the people to crucify him, Pilate tries to wash his hands to rid him of the blood that he was giving to this man to be crucified. And they said, oh, his blood be on our families and our children and their children. And it has been. They didn't realize what they were speaking, but many years later, when persecution came and Nero came and burned Jerusalem, and when the persecution came in the days of Hitler and Eichmann and all these different things, they didn't realize when they were crying for his blood on the cross what it was going to cost them down the road when they said, let his blood be on us and on our children. But yet it was. Pilate begins to try to wash his hands to rid him of this thing that he's done and this decision that he's made. But there's something about it that these two enemies that had been in contention with one another, now suddenly, because they have a common enemy and a common goal, they become friends from that day. It's incredible how that happens. Sometimes that happens in politics. You remember, a few years ago when my dad and Brother Layton were young men, there were countries that we were in bitter war with and at world wars with, and now we pat one another on the shoulder and call each other friends, and we keep sending them more and more money to make sure they stay our friends. And then we got to the Cold War and, Russia and different ones, and now, they make leagues of nations and things, and really everybody's just walking around wringing their hands nervously hoping nobody sets off an atomic bomb, when most of the nations, even some of these little bitty ones, have it. And what is it? They're trying to buy friendship. Brother Branham said, you can never do that. But we send money over, and we send this over, and we send that over. Brother Branham said, don't worry, they'll bomb it back to you in a few years. And so because of political reasons and things like that, we become friends sometimes because we have a common enemy. Well, maybe a country that we had fought for years and years and years, but yet suddenly a little group like ISIS or the Taliban or somebody raised up and start causing trouble. And all of a sudden us and Russia and different countries that we had been at war with years before, we get together a little bit and say, hey, we better do
do something about that, they're killing both of us. Why? Because we have a common enemy. Now, that goes in politics, and that goes for our enemies. Many times there's people out here that don't believe anything hardly the same at all, except there's one thing they have in common. They're against this message. And what do? They begin to band together. And one might be a Methodist, and one a Baptist, and one a Trinitarian, one a oneness, and one believes in all kinds of things, and the other one's more conservative. But they have a common enemy, and they begin to attack against it. Why? Brother Branham said in Shalom in 1964, he said, the light has become so bright in this age that darkness has to band together. And so we see it on that side, but yet we can look around and see as well, and when it comes to the message, and when it comes to the bride, and when it comes to the truth, we can see that there were brothers that were in contention years ago that now all of a sudden, when we've got every gun in hell pointed at us, and people criticizing us, and news reports, and websites, and everything else, some of these brothers begin to stand together. Why? Because we have a common enemy. And when I see a brother that the defectors hate, I think, my, he's got to be doing something right. When I see a brother, it's getting to the point where if we see a brother that still names the name of Jesus and still follows this message, we'll say, hey, that's a brother. And a few years before, you might have differed with him so much on doctrine that you didn't want to hardly shake his hand, but it's getting to a point to where we recognize where we're standing. 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 10. But Nathan, the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men, and Solomon, his brother, he called not. Notice here when he goes to invite all these men, when Adonijah goes to do this, he leaves some men out for political reasons because he wants all the people that's on his side to band together, but he fails to invite some people to this great invitation. Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard what Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign? And David, our Lord, knoweth it not? Now therefore, come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and get thee in unto King David, and say unto him, didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? Why then doth Adonijah reign? Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. Now, when I read this a couple weeks ago, it really helped me. And I'd actually called a brother that doesn't even attend our church, or didn't call him. I was talking to him in person the other day. And I told him, I said, brother, I said, I want you to look at this because I think it'll help you a lot. And we find out here is a political move of Adonijah to turn the people to him, and he gets everybody on his side. And here Nathan the prophet, remember this is a God-called, anointed prophet of God, and he comes in and he begins to talk to Bathsheba, and he said, don't you see what's taking place? Don't you see what's happening? David doesn't know, and Adonijah set himself up as king, yet he swore to you that Solomon would be king, and why don't you go for your sake and your son's safety and go in into David and get an audience with him and begin to talk to him about what's going on, and you begin to lay the story, and I'll time it just right so that about the time you get done, I'm going to slip in and I'm going to confirm what you're saying, and we're going to work together on David on this. Now look, if you take a step back and you don't look at it on a spiritual aspect, both of these look like very political moves. And it got really quiet in the church. Both of these look like politically driven moves. Both of their motives, both of their actions, the way that they're going about this. Adonijah getting his group together over here. Bless God, we're going to go and take over. And Nathan the prophet going and getting Bathsheba and telling her, coaching her along. This is what you need to say to David. And then I'm going to come in and at a certain time, I'm going to say the same thing. Both look very politically driven. But there was a difference between these two moves. One was against the will of God, and one was in the will of God. And if you had been there in David's day, how would have you told the difference? Or would you have said, bless God, it's all just a bunch of politics, and I ain't joining up with any of them? What would you have done? How would you have known which one to stand for? Uniting Time and Sign, 1963, he says, Brother Branham says, Israel united, Rome is united, the church is united, and the bride is uniting. Amen. And coming, the coming of that great union. What is it? It's all moving up to that sign, that main capital sign, Jesus and his bride uniting as one. God of this evil age, 1965. He says again, also notice Christ's word bride is heading up also. As we see where the Antichrist is heading, begin back there and now coming to a head. An ecumenical council will put it to an ecclesiastical head. And the little church that's coming along also, Christ's word bride, down through the age is coming to a head. Because she's going to be united back to its mate. Always, just like the church and everything else, it's got to unite. The wheat, everything else comes right back to its head where it started from. Like Cain and Abel, word bride heading up again, up in the person rather of the word of God made manifest in this evil age that we're living. See where it's heading up? Do you see where it's heading up? All of these things are coming to a climax. The ecumenical council and all these things, religion is coming to a climax. The churches are coming to a climax, and the Pope is saying, hey, why don't we all just be one? Why don't we just have one big great world order, and we can all have one economy, and we can all have one currency, and we can all have one leader? Oh, and I wonder who he's going to recommend to be it. And President Obama has got us in a condition to where we're bailout hungry, and we're ready to be bailed out here and there and everywhere. And the Pope's going to come in and offer us a big bailout one of these days. And we're already in the spirit of it. Brother Branham said destruction cannot come until the people are in the spirit of destruction. And you pick up a newspaper, or you go on CNN or Fox News' website, and you see if it doesn't look like the world is in the spirit of destruction. Everything trying to destroy one another. Nation against nation. Family against family. Family member against family member. On and on and on. And there's no good news up there. It's just all bad news. It's enough to get you depressed and discouraged and feel like you want to check yourself into a nursing home somewhere yourself if you read too much of it, because it's all just negativity. But yet in the midst of all that, the denominational churches are coming to a head, and it's going to fall, as we've been taught by prophecy, it'll all be headed up in Rome, and the Catholic Church and the Pope will be the leader of it all. And that used to be prophecy, but now we can pick up our newspaper and see it's coming to a head. We can look around and see the nations and things that's been prophesied about atomic bombs and about nations and about warfare in the last days during the days of tribulation. And we can see it coming to a head to where it's just about ready. But yet we see the bride of Jesus Christ through it all is uniting. That doesn't, I'll just tell you tonight, I don't mean to shock you, and I don't think it will shock you at this point, but that doesn't mean everybody in the message is going to unite. There's going to be some people that they ain't going to unite no matter what you do. And when you try to get the bride to unite and together, they'll say that's an old ecumenical spirit trying to unite and trying to have fellowship with one another. That's right. The ecumenical church is having unity. Amen. They're crying for unity. The nations are crying for unity. But yet there's a bride that's going to be united as well. Amen. And it won't be under the name of any certain church. It won't be under the name of any certain doctrine. But it'll be under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ will be the head of it. And he's calling to a bride in this age. He's calling. Used to be it was calling out of the denominations and calling out of the world. But now we can look around even in the message churches. And he's calling, trying to get a bride out of a church over here and a church over there. And one or two members here that's really on fire for God. And then the rest of them sit and stare. Brother Branham said that little baby, he said the woman was pushing it through the cart in the 10-cent store. As I've said before, for you that don't know, that's a dollar store today due to inflation. And she was pushing it through the store in a little grocery cart. And she was getting more and more frantic. And she would take things and shake it in front of the child, little rattles and toys and things. And she began to get frantic. And the people that worked there were trying to quiet her. Said, ma'am, you've got to calm down. You're causing a scene. And it said, what's wrong? She said, oh my, the doctors have told me that the baby's getting better, but she said it's not better, and said, oh, its age, it should respond to these things, that, you know, shaking the rattles and the toys and the things. I don't know if you ever taken your kids to down to Walmart or Target, but they get walking down that toy aisle, and if they just sit there and stare at the ceiling and hum and look around, are we ready to go yet, you might want to get the child checked. Yeah. There's something wrong with the child. And so she began to take the child down the aisle and began to see these toys and things, and the child just stared, just sat and stared. She said, "There's something wrong." I would know in our household, Brother Norman, there was something wrong. If we could walk through Target and not be stopped and grabbing things every 5 feet, I'd know something. "You got a fever, honey? Are you okay?" And she recognizes there's something wrong with the child. And Brother Branham begins to type into the spiritual, and he said, "God has shaken every sign, every gift, every prophecy that could be shaken in front of the church of God." And what do? We sit and stare. Well, it was another good tape, another good service. I guess Brother Nathan, he preached all right. I guess he did his best tonight. And the musicians and the singers, they did a pretty good job. And mine was a good service. Maybe we'll even comment about it on Facebook or something, what a good service it was. And we just sit and stare, and the world lulls us to sleep. And news and politics and everything else has numbed us and lulled us to sleep to where God can perform miracles and people can be healed instantly. And God's word can restore families and restore people back that's been out in the world for years and years and years. And they come back to the message, and what do? We sit and stare. Oh my, what is it going to take to shake the bride of Jesus Christ? I told a brother the other day, I said, you know, we see little glimpses of persecution and it begins to move the bride together a little bit. As Brother Branham said in a paradox in 1964, he said, "Oh my," he said, "this nation," he said, "we would have never been able to take it from the Indians had they all banded together and fought as one. But you had a little tribe separated over here and a little tribe separated over there. And we just came in and wiped them out a tribe at a time." But he said, "If they could have banded together, we could have never taken this nation." And he said, "How are we going to lose this great race?" He said, "It's because we're divided." And he said, if Satan can get you pointed at one another, he just sits back and laughs. He doesn't have to do nothing. If he can get you, if he can get the right side of the church fighting with the left side of the church, he can just sit back and laugh. "Oh my, look, I got them at each other's throat and they're so bitter and hate each other. Oh my, they're so upset at one another. And sister so-and-so said something about sister so-and-so, and their families are fighting against each other so much. How's the Holy Spirit going to move in that church?" And he just sits back and laughs. But Brother Branham said, "What's it going to take?" He said, "It'll take a paradox." But he said, "The squeeze will come to push the bride together." Amen. I don't want to see the persecution come. I'll admit to you, I don't want to see persecution come. But whenever we see a little glimpse of that, what does it do? Brothers that haven't fellowshiped in years, "Oh, brother, how are you? Are you doing okay through this disaster? Are you doing okay through this persecution? Are you doing okay since they released something about us on WHAS 11 or whatever it will be? Or how are you doing, brother?" Brothers that haven't spoken in years. Why? Because the persecution drives us together and we realize that we have a common enemy, and it's not one another. Matthew chapter 24 verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible they shall deceive the very elect." Now Joel Osteen isn't going to deceive you. Benny Hinn isn't going to deceive you. The Pope isn't going to deceive you. But where's the deception going to come from? Those that are so close that it would deceive the very elect if possible. Now notice, Brother Branham, when he refers to this scripture many times, he tells us, he said, that's not false Jesuses. He said, anybody that came in and said, "Hey, I'm Jesus," and they had nail scars and nail prints, and they began to walk up and say, "Hey, I'm Jesus, I'm back, everybody follow me." He said, nobody would fall for that hardly. He said, but it's false Christ. He said, that word Christ is anointed ones. And it would be anointed ones that would come with an anointing that would be so close to the true and so close to the real that it would deceive the very elect if possible. A blushing prophet, 1956, he said, so the devil goes to church. The devil belongs to church. The devil acts like a Christian. He's a deceiver. And if he didn't act like a Christian and act like a church, he wouldn't be a deceiver. He's my best attendee. I don't think there's hardly a person here, even myself, that hasn't missed at least one service. But he's been here every service, Brother Layton. He's been here every service to try to fight and combat and put things in your mind that you get to thinking about what you're going to buy at Burger King after service, or what so-and-so said to you earlier today that's got you so upset you could fight a buzzsaw, and or what the boss did to you at work today. And he gets your mind so on that when the word and the quotes and the scriptures and things are going forth, it just goes right over the top of your head because you're at Walmart or somewhere. Yep. What's doing that? It's because Satan came to church with you. And he's going to do anything he can to rob you of a blessing. He's my best attendee. He shows up. He gets here early. He leaves late. He comes to every service. If I could just get him to pay tithes, we'd be doing all right. No man could be deceived. Only the difference, he said, let me go back, sorry. He said if he didn't act like a Christian, act like a church, he wouldn't be a deceiver. No man could be deceived. Only if the difference was black and white, if it's contrary to one another. But the Bible said that it'd be so close that it would deceive the very elect, if possible, the spirit in the last days. He said, friends, we're here. We're here. This isn't something way off in the future somewhere, but it's here. Remember, even in the days of Paul, in the days of Peter, they were talking about how that Antichrist spirit was already there, and it was trying to deceive the elected, and it was so close. We went through it in the Church Age book, and as we listen to the Church Age series, how it was so close down through every age, riding out as a deceiver, and it was so close that even Brother Branham looked, and he said, I thought that that white horse rider was Christ, but he said, but when an angel stands and begins to tell you, oh my, I'm thankful that he wasn't like a lot of message folks that are so stubborn about the way they see it and the way that they believe it that even the Holy Spirit can't hardly change him. But he was able to stand, and even though his thought was contrary, when an angel came and began to reveal it to him, he was able to say, my idea was wrong, but what the angel said was right. And he said, and I wouldn't take the angel's word if it didn't go right along with what the Bible said. Remember when the days of Martin, that man came in and said, oh my, a big great white robe is going to come down and cover around me. And he walked in, he really had it, Brother Layton. He really had it, this white robe that came down and was around him. And they said, well, let's go stand before Martin and see what's said about it. He said, oh no, I don't want to stand before Martin. And when they tried to take him before Martin, the thing left him. What was it? It was a spirit that was so close that it almost deceived the very elect. But there's comfort that we have. He said, the elect can't be deceived. People say, oh, you mean you go down to that church and hear a preacher? I ain't going to go hear no preacher. I'm afraid I might get deceived. Well, that just shows me you're not elect, because the elect can't be deceived. Amen. I'm not afraid of being deceived. I might get confused for a little while, Brother Jimmy, but there's nobody can deceive me if I'm elect. Oh, my. Thank God for grace. And so we begin to look and see down through the ages. Again, Martin was standing there one time, and a man came in the room with a priestly or kingly robe on and a crown, said, kneel and worship me, Martin, I'm Christ. And he said, wait a minute. He said, this isn't scriptural. He said, he's not crowned until we crown him. And he wouldn't do it. And Satan left him. Now, if that had been us, many of the, Brother Bram said, the Pentecostal people, he said, they would have swallowed that up, hook, line, and sinker, to see a vision like that, and a man come in, and my white robes, and all these different things that they saw. But there was something about it that the elect won't just go off of feeling. They won't just go off of emotion, although we believe in feeling, and we believe in emotion. But my rest, and my trust, and my eternal destination doesn't rest in feeling and emotion. I thank God that we can feel His presence. I thank God, as Brother Furman and Brother Ben were talking about earlier, that it brings emotion. Because Brother Branham said anything that don't have emotion is dead. You better bury it. But my hopes and my salvation and my eternal destination is not resting in my emotions or my feelings. Or there will be certain days that I'd just be a member of the bride and predestinated. And my, just God seen. There'd be other days that I'd be, oh Lord, I just don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm predestinated. If you went off the feelings, you'd have some days you were on the mountaintops and some days you'd be down in the valleys. But I thank God that I don't have to rest in my emotions or rest in my feelings, but I can rest in what the Word of God said. Amen. If we can place our confidence in what the Word of God said, it doesn't matter what comes, what rises, what falls. I don't compare it with how I feel or what I think about it. I compare it with what the Word of God says about it. Church Age Book, page 15, he says, he knows, talking of Satan here, he said, he knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. Now, he's talking about you tonight. He's talking about the bride, how that Satan would be powerless before you. Why? Because you've got a big eagle belt buckle, and you can walk around and kick the devil in the shins, and you can quote the message like a machine gun, and because you've got all the pictures and all the books and all the tapes, say the devil can get all of those. The devil can wear an eagle belt buckle. No offense to eagle belt buckles. I like those eagle belt buckles. But if wearing an eagle belt buckle was all you had to do, then let's all go buy one. If having the books and tapes and the pictures was all you had to do, then a lot of the defectors must be all right, because they've got them and they make fun of them and they read them to try to point out what they think are mistakes. So it's got to be something more than that. It's got to be something more. You say, well, I'm anointed and God's used me to heal the sick and to bring in lost souls and to baptize. Hey, you know what? There was many of these men out here that make fun of Brother Branham and make fun of his message and that turn against him and rejected him, that did the exact same thing. What did he call them? False anointed ones at the end time. But yet anointed, and yet God could use them in such a way that even healings and things would take place in their ministry. So what is it that makes us the bride? Is it our power? Is it our ability to God to heal people through us? Is it our ability to put somebody in a thing of water and baptize them? Is it our ability to lay hands on people? Is it our ability to quote the word? What is it? It's the ability to discern and withstand and recognize what those two spirits are that are working in the church. And then once we recognize it, to withstand that Antichrist spirit, that's what identifies us as the bride of Jesus Christ. Not how high I can jump, not how fast I can run or how hard I can shout, although sometimes I sure get to feeling like it, so just get out of my way if I do. But that doesn't make me bride. There's many, Brother Bram said, in the Methodist church, he said, they said, oh, when we shouted, we got it. And he said, many of them did. And he said, but many of them shouted that didn't have it. There was many of them that spoke in tongues in the days of Pentecost, and they absolutely had the real thing. He said, there was those two men. I haven't even looked at my watch, so I'm trying not to worry about it tonight. But there was those two men, that one of them absolutely a true gift of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, he said, like a machine gun. And there was the other one, he said, married to one wife, had children with another wife. He said, if there was ever a devil in shoe leather and a deceiver, that was one of them. And he was doing the exact same thing that the other man was. So that didn't identify him as bride. What would it be? What could you put your finger on that would identify you? The ability to withstand those two spirits, or to discern them rather, and to withstand the Antichrist spirit. Many will be deceived by it. Many of them will be packing Bibles under their arms and have the message on their phones and on their bookshelves, and they'll be deceived by it. But by the Antichrist spirit. Why? Because they didn't have the ability to discern and withstand. Many of them will do great things. Jesus said they'll come to me and say, Lord, didn't I do many mighty things? Didn't I cast out devils? Didn't I heal the sick? Didn't I do this? But what about those that was able to discern and withstand? He said, Satan will be powerless before her. How are we going to discern and withstand? If we had been in the days of Nathan and Adonijah and Solomon and all this took place, and we stepped back, let's just put it in down in today's terminology. I know I'm scaring people half to death tonight, but just bear with me. If we put it in today's perspective, and you sat down and you had an email from Adonijah, Brother Adonijah invites you to a big festival that he's having, and he's got all kinds of sheep and oxen and things that he's killed, and he's going to have a banquet prepared. Come on over and be with Adonijah. And then you open up another email, and it says, Brother Nathan and Sister Bathsheba are going and trying to consult with the king, and we want to get you to help us and go put in a good word for Solomon. And both of these look like political moves to you. And how do you decide which one is ordained of God and which one is out of the will of God? Many times around the message even, we see moves and we see things happen. We see men rise. We see movements. We see churches. We see spirits. We see all kinds of things, doctrines and moves in churches and moves in cities and moves in nations and whatever it would be. How are we going to determine, is this of God or is this of the devil? And maybe it'd be two opposite things, and maybe they're combating one another. And you take a step back and you look and you say, they both look like political moves to me. How do I decide? That's where we'd have been in the days of Nathan and Bathsheba and in the days of Adonijah and Solomon. We would have looked and thought, it all looks like politics to me. And people get so scared. And even myself, I step back and wonder sometimes. There was something that I cannot get into the details with you tonight, but there was something I told my wife a while back, something that happened about us, that somebody did something that reflected on us and on our church. And I said, it absolutely looks like a political move against us. But is it of God or is it of the devil? How do you know? You better be able to discern and withstand. You better be able to identify, is this God allowing this to happen? Is this God blessing this and letting this happen in a certain way to bring something about for his glory? Or is this Satan trying to upset? St. Paul stood there and he told one group of people, he said, I wanted to come and visit you, but Satan hindered me. And he told another group of people, he said, I wanted to come and be with you, but he said, God prevented me. Now, how did he know which one was which? How did he know which one was God really not wanting him to go and the other one was just the devil trying to upset him? He was able to discern and withstand. Oh, how we need more revelation. How we need more time in prayer. How we don't need to just step back and of our own mental accord think, well, bless God, this brother's against me. And bless God, that brother, he's got a political agenda. I've heard so many man hours and sermons preached on political agendas, whether it be to promote their own or to run somebody else's down. And so many man hours, as we would call it, of preaching and pulpit hours. What is it, just fighting one another? I don't have time for that. There's too many things that God's doing for me to stop and fight another brother. I'm not going to waste a pulpit hour running another brother down and trying to tell him what to do and what he should do and all these things. Even good friends of mine, some brothers recently, I've heard them say things that I think, I wish you would just step back and make sure that spirit that you're speaking against is the spirit that you think it is. Because remember, even Gamaliel sat there one time and he stood up before the people and he said, now look, he said, there was a man named Judas that rose up and he took a group off into the wilderness. He said, they all died. And he said, we can recognize that wasn't of God. And he said, but this group of Christians that raised up, he said, if it be of God, then why would we want to do anything against it and wind up fighting God? And if it's not of God, it'll come to naught anyhow. And even he had that much sense, and he wasn't even part of the bride for that age. He was just one of those, Brother Branham said, that he would come in as part of the foolish virgins, that those that was able to stand for the brethren in a time of need, he said, like Gamaliel or Nicodemus, that they didn't really come all the way with it, but they knew better than to put their hands on it. And even he had that much sense, but many of us that claim to be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ, when something raises up that we think, well, I don't think I like that. And I think they've got an agenda, and I think that there's some motive behind it, and we begin to attack it. You better be careful. It sure looked like Nathan and Bathsheba had an agenda and a motive and a political spirit that was backing them, but they were playing right into the will of God, and Nathan the prophet was doing exactly what God wanted him to do to bring Solomon into the position that he wanted to. But from the carnal mind, when you step back and look at it, his motives and objectives and everything look just as political as Adonijah's did. Oh my, God help us tonight. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. Amen. If the musicians had come, I'll try to close here tonight. Now you understand, honey. I laid down for a nap this afternoon. I wasn't feeling very well. And when I woke up, I was just covered in hives again like I was last week. And I thought, boo, devil. It's just Satan trying to fight because he knows what I'm preaching on tonight. And she said, that's just the devil. And I said, I know it. And by the time we got to church, they was gone. But Satan begins to fight your mind, thinking, oh my, you know, you can't preach tonight. You look like a monster. Hives all over my face and chest and everything else. I thought, oh, they won't care what I look like. Amen. If I have to hide behind the pulpit and preach, I'll do it. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 17. She said unto him, my Lord, this is Bathsheba now goes in to speak to David. My Lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now behold, Adonijah reigneth, and now, my Lord the king, thou knowest it not. And he hath slain oxen and fat and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the sons of the kings, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host. But Solomon thy servant hath he not called. And thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it shall come to pass, when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. And lo, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. And he comes in, he begins to relay the exact same thing to David, just the way that they had rehearsed it. Verse 28, King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king sware and said, as the Lord liveth that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. Verse 38, so Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites and Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. Amen. We just look through and read through this, and it looks very political. And we can recognize that, I think, with the help of the Lord tonight, that both of these moves looked political. So my encouragement to you tonight is, there's been many things that have happened over the last few years that I've looked at and thought, my, that looks like it's a political inspired thing. It looks like it's, what is the motive behind this? What is this? What is that? Different brothers and different things that they've done. And then some brothers get up in the pulpit and begin to discuss it. And well, this brother over here did this, and this brother over here did that. And some of them will call names, and some of them won't call names, but they'll make it so plain that you know what they're talking about. And you better be careful to make sure, even if it looks like a political move, you better make sure, is that the Holy Spirit that's leading that? Just as the bride is uniting, and oh my, some people look back and say, that's ecumenical. All these brothers getting together, that's ecumenical. Look at that. But yet, if it's the real bride of Christ, it's not ecumenical. It's a different uniting. The bride is supposed to have unity, just as the denominations and the politics and all that. It's all uniting. We just got to make sure we're uniting under the right thing. And I want to be on the side of God, not on the side of any man or any movement or any political agenda or whatever it would be. But I want to be careful that I don't go against some, whether it be an individual or a church or a movement or a doctrine or whatever it would be. I've heard brothers get up and say, we don't need that Thunder's garbage. Well, I know what they're talking about. They mean the Thunder's doctrine out here that's man-made. But hey, the Thunder's was the thing that turned our hearts back. Amen. So I don't want to get up and say we don't need that Thunder's garbage. Oh, yes, we do. It's not garbage. We need it. We just don't need the man-made kind. We need the God-sent kind. Amen. So I want to be careful how I walk and what I say and my motives and my objectives to make sure, God, maybe I don't understand certain things, and maybe I don't understand why certain brothers do this or why they would go about it a certain way, and it looks this way to me and it looks that way to me, but it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what he thinks. And I want to be able to step back and make sure, God, is this you or is it not you? Because if it's you, I don't want to put my hand against it. And if it's not him, it's not going to succeed anyhow. So we don't have to worry about it. Amen. God, help us to be careful. If we had been in the days of these men, we would have had to have been very careful. Here these were two sons of a king, and both of them trying to take over the kingdom. Both of them with this motive behind them, that they're both trying to be established as kings. And here, a priest of God, an anointed priest of God, Abiathar, he was with David for years and years and years, and he takes the side of Adonijah. Here, Joab, a man of God, who was a mighty man of valor, who slayed many of David's enemies, takes the side of Adonijah. And here, Bathsheba and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah, they take the side of Solomon. And you would have been standing wondering, well, what side do I take? Here's all these anointed people and all these mighty men of valor and all these men that I've been able to look back through, and all the stories of the things I've heard of Joab and all the things I've heard of Nathan the prophet. And where do I stand? You better be making sure that you're standing with the Holy Spirit. Not with a man, not with the church, not with an agenda, not with a political move, but with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes God uses men and churches and political agendas. So you have to be careful, what side do I stand on? What man do I stand with? There was Moses, and he said, who's on the Lord's side? come and stand with me. And there was Dathan and Korah, anointed men of God, and they stood up there. And Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? Well, who's on the Lord's side? Why do we got to stand with you, Moses? Because that's where the Lord's side was. Oh, God, help us to pray and to seek and to know what the Holy Spirit is doing. And would not just look at what men are doing and think, well, this one's right and that one's wrong. And this one's political and that one's not. And this one's ecumenical and this one's bride. And we figure it all out intellectually. You better be careful. They look so close to the intellectual mind, they could deceive the very elect. But we want to stay in the Word and stay in prayer and make sure that God leads us to the one that's the right one. If it could go off of intellectual and human knowledge and all these things, there'd be a lot of men that were a lot smarter than me that would have made it in the bride, that could have figured it out. Oh, it's easy to see this one's doing this and that one's doing that, and that's what it is. But it's closer than that. It's so close that it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. I want to be standing on God's side. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's sing this together. Oh, it won't be long. Soon we'll be leaving. It won't be long till we'll be going home. Oh, I know it won't. Lord, soon we'll be leaving. It won't be long. Lord, you will be going home. So count the years as mine. Oh, count the months. As we look at this tonight, realizing the seriousness of it, Father, Lord, that you spoke when you were here on earth and you warned us the spirits would be so close that it would deceive the very elect. Then your prophet came and warned us time after time after time how these two spirits that were spearheading in this last age, every one of them, all these seeds that have been planted back in Genesis, they're coming to a head in this age, Father. They're so close, so deceptive, Father, the one, that it would deceive us into thinking that it was the right thing if we weren't careful, if we weren't elected, Father. Lord, help us to be careful. Help us not to put our own man-made thinking into it. And I know many will walk away, Lord, that was here tonight or that listens to it, Lord, after it's put up online, and many will think, well, what did he mean? Who's he talking about? I think he was talking about this one, or I think he was talking about that one, or why did he say this? Why did he say that? But Lord, help us to realize it's not about who it's about or what it's about. Lord, it's about the spirits that's behind it all, Father. What spirit is it that's moving? Lord, I would never want to speak any certain doctrine or church or person's name that I would affiliate with either side of this, Father, because I want to be so careful, Lord, that I know which is your spirit, Father. And many times to our intellectual minds and to our natural eyes, we can look at things and Satan will begin to get us to question, well, look at this and look at that and look how this was handled and look how that was handled. We'll begin to take sides and take opinions. But Lord, help us not to just look so much on the outward, because on the outward, both of these moves and kings here, they looked political. They looked like they had agendas. They looked like they were spearheading for different purposes, Father. But yet one of them was ordained of you to place the right man where you wanted him to be. And the other one was absolutely a move of the devil to try to get the wrong man placed in there to be king over Israel. And yet your Holy Spirit worked it all out and anointed men, a priest and a great mighty man of valor. They found themselves standing on the wrong side. Lord, I don't believe that their souls were lost, but it fulfilled a prophecy. How one priesthood would be done away with. Lord, another man, his life was taken because of it. Two of the other men, their lives taken because of this. Because they weren't careful to know where they were supposed to be standing. They picked an intellectual side that, well, this looks better, or that looks better. Help us, Father. Lord, not to just take sides because something looks a certain way. But help us to make sure we're standing on the side of the Holy Spirit. Lord, this age is so dark and so deceptive. And even myself, Father, lately I've looked around at different things. I've questioned, Lord, what is this about? And what is that about? And I hear different men speaking of it, Father. And they're some of them very opinionated about what they think certain things are and how they think certain things should be. But Father, I want to make sure I know where I'm standing with you. Lord, I don't want to just speak my opinions or just, Lord, because I think something looks a certain way, speak against it. Father, I want to be very careful to step back and evaluate things, not under Nathan Bryant's mental wisdom or capacity, but under the light of the Word and under the light of the Holy Spirit. I want to be very careful how I step and what I speak, because I don't want to be found speaking against anything that's of you. Help us, Father. This is a serious hour that we're living in. All these things coming up to a head, Father. Nation against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. Family against family. So many things being said and done at such a late hour, Father. The seriousness of this hour, Father. Help us to be sober and vigilant, Lord, to seek you. Not just because we read an email or a website or listened to a sermon or heard someone's opinion that we think, oh my, well, I guess intellectually that makes sense. Well, this is just how it is. But Father, help us to seek you and to be found standing, Lord, not with any man or any move or any political agenda, but to be standing with you. And if it's you, Father, that's moving through those things, if you're moving through men, help us to be found standing with those men. If you're moving through churches, as we believe and know you are moving through men and through churches, help us to not be found speaking against those churches or standing against those churches or those men, but help us to be found standing with them, Lord, because we have a common enemy, and that's the Antichrist spirit that would come in and try to deceive. Help us not to fight against our brothers or other churches or other things that rise up in the message. Even some things may seem, Lord, like they're political, but help us to be very careful how we trod and how we step. Because if it's your Holy Spirit that's leading those things, we don't want to stand against it. Oh, help us to be found standing on the side of the Lord. Help us for each family, for each church, for each individual to pray and seek you, Father. This is a serious hour. Lord, not to be caught up in the politics of things that go around and opinions. And Lord, so many people so opinionated in this age that they would try to convince certain different ways just to get somebody on their side. But Father, help us not to be swayed by those things, but help us to look at your word. What does your word promise? What is your word leading us to? Lord, what is the motive and objective behind all these things? And help us, Lord, not to be quick to judge, but help us to be, Lord, so careful to take a stand with your Holy Spirit and with the leading of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I apologize tonight. I ask for forgiveness, Lord. There's been many times I've been too quick to throw my opinion in or to have my own thought about something when I should have just kept quiet and waited to see how the Holy Spirit was leading. Lord, when I ran across these scriptures, I knew it'd be hard to try to express this in the way that I mean it tonight, but it helped me so much, Father, to recognize that sometimes even those things look a certain way, it can still be you leading, Father. Help us to be so careful, Father, to make sure that we know where we're standing, Father. Be with each family, each individual. Lord, help us not to be against any brother. Lord, help us not to speak out against anything that, Lord, just because of our opinion or because it hurt our feelings or because we felt like it was against us. But Father, help us just to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit with what you would have us to do. I don't believe you would have us to speak out against any brother or run any brother down, because your prophet told us that elect doesn't persecute elect. And I don't know who's elect and who's not, so I have to treat everybody in the same way, Father, that, Lord, what if this person is elect? How should I treat them? How should I react to them? How should I speak to them? How should I handle situations with them? Many times we're so quick to get upset about little petty things that won't mean anything a few years down the road. But what if that had been an elect person and we offended them? Lord, you may allow Satan to bother us years and years and years for that, for putting our hand to God's elect. But Lord, help us to be so careful. We don't know who's elect and who's not. So help us to treat each person the way that we would want to be treated. The way that we would treat somebody if we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were elected. Help us to treat each one that way. You'll sort it all out, Father. You'll show us it all at the end of the road. I don't have all the answers right now, Father, but I'm just following you, Lord, a step at a time. Help us, Lord. So many times we speak when we should just be quiet and just seek you, Father. Help us to be careful, never to touch your anointed, Father, but just to wait on you to move and to lead. Lord, may this anchor down in each heart here tonight, Father, as a warning to us all. Lord, there's different brothers, even in this area, Father, different ministers, different pastors, many of them with very different opinions and different ways of doing things and different doctrines that they hold to more dearly than others, maybe. But Father, I believe all of them is trying to do what they believe is right for you. I believe that you've called all of them and placed all of them here for a purpose, for a group of people that they're leading, and maybe nobody else could lead that certain group of people the way that these other brothers can. I know there's many brothers at these different churches that I couldn't reach them, but these brothers are reaching them. Maybe the same way for us, Father, that there's people here that we're able to reach that these other churches might not be able to. That doesn't make one of us right and one of us wrong. That means that the Holy Spirit's just leading us in different avenues to help different people. Help us to be mindful of these things, Father. Lord, not to be against our brothers or our sisters, but to recognize our enemy is not our brothers or our sisters, but our enemy is Satan. And he wants to do anything he can to upset and divide and destroy. But yet through it all, there's a bride that's uniting, not just in this church, not just in this area, but around the world. Help us, Lord, to stand together. Lord, we're not unified by opinions or doctrines or man's ideas, but we're unified by the Word. We're unified by your Spirit. Help us to stand for it with everything we have. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's stand and sing it together. Oh, it won't be long.
Count the months. Straight to the land
talking about this little way. I'm feeling so much better talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on talking about this little way. Let's go on talking about the Lord. Oh, the devil, he don't like it when I'm talking about this little way. The devil, he don't like it talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on talking about this little way. Let's go on talking about the Lord. Oh yes, I'm feeling so much better. Oh, I'm feeling so much better talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on talking about this little way. Let's go on, let's go on. Oh no, that devil, he don't like it when I'm talking about this little way. That devil, he don't like it when we're talking about the Lord. So let's go on. God bless you, dismissed.